second. Yep.
We're ready to lay from here.
That was.
Hey, if you just give it. People can't see you then. That's a camera, don't come on.
Oh. That was now.
That's you now, yeah.
Okay, folks, it's now 7 o'clock. We'll make a start. Could I welcome everybody to our meeting, Mid-Ulster District Council, in the Council Chamber in Dungannon. Whether you have joined us remotely or you're in the Chamber, thank you for attending, bid you welcome. Specifically, I want to welcome the public who are watching through our live broadcast. As I'm sure you're aware, the live broadcast will run for the period of open business, but just will end just before we move into confidential business. And I will let everyone know when that happens. Some housekeeping rules as we go through each of the meetings. If you've joined the meeting remotely, please keep your audio on mute unless invited to speak, and then turn it off when finished speaking. Keep your video on at all times, unless you have a bandwidth or an internet connection issue, when you're advised to try turning your video off. If you wish to speak, please raise your hand in the meeting or on the screen and keep raised until observed by either an officer or myself. Should we need to take a vote this evening, we'll ask each member to confirm whether they are for or against the proposal or abstaining. When invited to speak, please introduce yourself by name to the meeting. For any member attending remotely, if you declare an interest in an item, please turn off your video and keep your audio on mute for the duration of the item. If referring to a specific report, it would help if you can please name the page or the slide or the reference number of the item being referred to. And lastly, I need to remind the public and the press that taking photographs of proceedings or using any means to enable anyone not present to see or hear proceedings or make a simultaneous oral report of the proceedings are not permitted. We're going to do a roll call at this time, okay? So if you can indicate whether you're here or whatever the case might be. Councillor Ashton, we have an apology.
Councillor,
okay, she's here. Oh, sorry about that. Flight must have touched down okay. Okay.
Here.
Councillor Bale. Thank you. Councillor Black.
Present.
Councillor Brown.
Present.
Councillor Buchanan.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Burton.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Clark.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Colvin.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Corey.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Cuddy.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Culberson.
Here.
Councillor Doris.
Here.
Councillor Leader. Councillor Ford.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Gildernew.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Glasgow.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Graham.
Apology.
Councillor Martin.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Kearney.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Kerr.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Mulligan.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Niall McAleer.
Here.
Councillor Sharon McAleer.
Here, Chair.
Councillor McFlynn.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Brian McGuigan.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Sean McGuigan.
Here, Chair.
Councillor McKinney.
Here.
Councillor, myself, I'm here. Councillor McNamee.
An apology, Chair.
Okay. Councillor Donald McPeak.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Sean McPeak, have an apology.
An apology.
Councillor Millen.
Here.
Councillor Dominic Malloy.
Here.
Councillor Monteith.
Here.
Councillor Mullen.
Present, Chair.
Councillor O'Neill.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Quinn.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Robinson.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Totten.
Apology, Chair.
And Councillor Wilson.
Here.
Okay. Okay, that takes us on to Chair's business. And the first thing I want to do is to make Council aware that Councillor McPeak is absent tonight because of the death of his mother, who passed away during this week and was buried today, and we pass on our sympathy to the McPeak family. Okay. Moving straight on into the other items, if I can find my sheet of paper for Chair's business. Yeah. Here it is. Okay. So, again, want to use the opportunity of updating members of things that we have done and things that are coming up that are positive for the Council. On the 27th of April, the Council team run a very successful wedding banquet reenactment at the Hill of the O'Neill in Offaly House. And it was an exceptional night where we had all our tour operators there to promote the district and to promote the venue. And it was, as I say, an exceptional night. And I just want to commend the staff and all the team and the Crack Theatre, who were part of that, and all the other people that took part. It was a very good night, and I can honestly say that also from that we've had a number of bookings to that venue, which is a positive feedback from that, and that's what we're here to do, to try and promote the district. So that the spin-off from that has been very, very positive, and well done to everybody. The Council has awarded over £670,000 in grant aid to the local community and voluntary sector over this past while, and therefore again as a council we're at the forefront of helping our communities in that field. And again, I want to commend the team for the turnaround of that finance to the many needed groups and support and community and elements that need it. It's very beneficial. Ballyronan was awarded the blue flag status. I want to thank the vice chair for filling in for me on that occasion because of other commitments, and it was great to see that how Ballyronan is developing. It's really good to see all the things that are happening there and how that whole tourist attraction is starting to build momentum and gather, as it were, take feet, and therefore for that we're delighted, and it's great to see that they have got this award on the back of that there. And well done again to all our team for all their work. I'm sure you'll notice, those that are through the town centres, that the spring clean has commenced and has well through, and a lot of our public realm areas were brought, a specialist firm was brought in to give them a good clean up in preparation for spring and summer, and a very needed reinvigoration to our towns. And so again, well done to our operational team for taking that on board. Looking ahead then, the Continental Market due for Cookstown this Saturday. Again, centre town in our district, and it's good to tick that and share it on Facebook and get as many people into the town centre. It's good for the economy, it's good for the local businesses, as well as promoting the Continental Market, and therefore good for the town centre. And so take the opportunity and share that on your Facebook pages and encourage people to come and to be a part of that. A couple of other things that I feel is important that I mention, and that is our thanks to our chief executive and her staff for the manner and assistance at the recent assembly election count. And we all know too well, anybody that has stood in Meadowbank in the past, while it's a fantastic open space and great for sport when you're running about after a ball or whatever the case might be, it's not the greatest and warmest place for it to hold a count. However, the weather was favourable and this whole process was good, and they also stepped in at the last minute and organised food that the electoral office had not provided for basically members outside the counting staff. And again, I want to commend them for all that they did to make that all run so smoothly and everything else. So again, thanks to them for that. A couple of things to remember. We have our hymn sing tomorrow night in the Brenavon, and if you're able to come, we would welcome your attendance. This is a chairs initiative, and it's we had one on the Heaney Centre two Thursday nights ago, and it was absolutely fantastic, goodly well attended, and also a fantastic night held by everybody. And on the top of that, money raised for three very worthy charities. And again, same thing tomorrow night. And lastly, the last thing I have is the volunteer reception that is going to be hosted on Monday night by the Chair and the Vice-Chair. And this is a recognition of our so many volunteers across our district. And I suppose at this time, I think it's important to clarify, it would be impossible to invite every volunteer. Absolutely impossible, because whenever we went into our database, there's 2,500 to 3,000 people across our database. And so what the Vice Chair and myself did, we took two particular sectors and we decided on those. And we are asking you as councillors and our senior team to join with us that night, and it'll help to do a bit of networking and also at the same time to acknowledge what our volunteer sector does in our community and across our district. So thank you very much. I have a couple or three people who have asked to speak on matters that affect our district, and therefore I'm going to call first Councillor Mallon in relation to the issue about passports.
Thank you, Chair, for letting me in. I'm sure, like most other people around the chamber here and online, they've been absolutely inundated over the last number of weeks and months with people trying to get their passport renewals, their new passport applications through the Irish Passport Service, which is dealing with a huge backlog and probably still with people working from home and from the length of time that they were closed. So, Chair, my proposal is that if we were able to send a letter to the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, requesting that local councillors here in the north would have a representative line that they could call on behalf of their constituents to try and get them updates on where their applications are. That would be greatly appreciated.
Okay. Councillor McFlynn.
Chair, I'm happy to second that. I like Cahill and other members in this room have been inundated with people that are trying to get their passports through. So happy to second your proposal,
okay.
Cahill.
Right. Councillor Wilson.
Sorry, Mr Chair, and thank you for letting me in. And if Cahill would include the Home Office, because it's equally as bad on both sides.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't think there's any issue there. So write to the both establishments and ask for some hotline and whatever else needs to be done. And that, and our officers will word up a letter accordingly. And we'll get that off as quickly as possible if everybody's happy. Okay. Thank you very much. Second person is Councillor Wilson in relation to our bank closure in Cookstown.
Thank you, Mr Chair, and thank you for letting me in on this. Mr Chair, since I notified you, there has been another bank that has declared that it's going to close one of its branches within the district as well. So basically, banks were used to be, and still are, probably the heart of the community. And when we lose a bank within the town, and especially, I have to say, within a major town, that it and the withdrawal of their speed bank facility as well, it is a blow. And Mr Chair, I'm wondering if we could have a meeting with the Danske Bank and with Ulster Bank to discuss the proposed closures. A number of staff are concerned, a number of people who use the bank are concerned about what will happen, especially with elderly people not being able to use the internet. So it would do no harm, I believe, to have a meeting with both banks. Thank you.
Okay. Just before I'm going to open this one up to the floor, for I know that it concerns a number of members, and this is my last night as the chair from the judge, so I'll be a wee bit relaxed tonight in that respect. But do you want a full council to meet them, or is it a delegation? Or
I think, Mr. Chair, like if the full council met, it's far too, I always believe it's far too many.
Yeah.
Equally, you know, it could be, for instance, Cookstown. It could be the DEA councillors within that particular area, and I'm sure Councillor Burton will raise her area. But well, you know, that's one thing, and maybe the councillors from the DEA.
Okay. Councillor McCann, your hand up. I take it it's to do with the same thing? Right, OK. Go ahead.
Mr Chairman, I am opposed also to the closure of the Danske Bank in Cookstown. This is a further blow to the town centre, and undoubtedly vulnerable customers will have concerns about their banking needs. It is also a blow for business in the town, who derive many benefits from having a branch nearby. Some people have moved to online banking, but a significant amount of people prefer personal banking at a branch. Arrangements will need to be made for cash dispensing machines and for the existing staff in the branch. So I'm organising with the MLA Keith Buchanan to also have a meeting or join with this meeting.
Okay. Councillor Burton.
Yes, Chair. Thank you. Yesterday evening, I met with Deborah Erskine, and we did meet with a couple of representatives from Danske Bank, and they talk a lot about, you know, how they've looked at this and the closure impact on the customer and on the businesses. But, you know, really and truly, the Danske Bank in Five Mile Town has been in operation from 1874, and you know, it is a sad day for the rural Clocker Valley area. And on the back of that, now there is word that the Ulster Bank in Clocker is also under threat of closure, or has pretty much been said that it's going to close, which will leave that we do not have a bank from Enniskillen to Dungannon. And I think that's a long process for people. Now, during the talk, and we did have a fairly frank and upright discussion with the representatives that attended, and we strongly put forward the hope that there would be an ATM put in place, and that it would be one that would also take deposits as well as allow money to be taken from it. I suppose, given what Trevor has said, you know, there are loyal customers in that area, businesses that have been customers of this bank for 52 years and more. And we were grateful that the Chamber of Commerce joined us on the call last night. And, you know, they talked a lot about impact assessment. They said that there had been a decline of 27%. On the footfall, but given the fact that most businesses and families have been locked in over the COVID time, that would hardly be any big shock to anybody. So I think it's, you know, we need as a council to try and do whatever we can to work with the businesses and the families that this will most affect. And really their answer on the evening seemed to be the best hope we can hope for is to get an ATM. And they were really just advertising that it's now the post office that will be the form of banking. They did talk about that they would be happy to meet with different community groups and businesses and elderly and that. And they'd also talked about, you know, some of these meetings that they would have, they would phone people. And I would be quite concerned. They talked about elderly and vulnerable, that they would phone them to ensure they knew how to progress with some form of banking. But you know yourself, and I said this at the meeting, the scammers are usually one step ahead of everything, and my worry would be that those people would be you know, targeted at that particular time. So I would like that, you know, where possible, any support or help that we can be to the like of the Chamber of Commerce or development associations in the Clocker area, whatever, any support we can be, that we give them our best foot forward, because it is a real knock to the area, obviously. Thank you.
There is a number. I have about five different people that are indicated. I assume that they're all talking about the same issue. So if you can be very particular and straight to the point, Councillor Cuddy.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. As I say, I think the previous speakers covered most of it. Totally agree with what they're all saying. I do think that we need to make sure we get a fairly high level of management to talk to, because I think this, it's been continuing on, Chair. We've seen it over the last few years, and it will continue further. Francis made a very good point, which you know, how do they work off figures? Because they scared everybody away out of the banks in the last 2 years. So I don't know what figures they're working on, but you know, it's been ideal for them if they mind to close, they can work off the because really they didn't let anybody into the banks the last 2 years. And the last point is, you know, especially in the rural areas, you know, I don't know, I know parts of Scotland now, they do have mobile banks and things that we could, but we do need to be, we just can't let them just lock it up and walk away, because if we do, we'll never get a chance of any presence in the smaller towns in our district. So I totally agree with what the previous councillor is saying.
Okay, Councillor Black.
Thank you, Chair, and just in a similar vein to the previous speakers, that unfortunately there's been similar news for Macquarie in recent days with the closure of the Ulster Bank being announced. So I would just like for that to be considered in any meeting that there is going to be arranged going forward for them concerns to be raised, because that's a big blow to the residents and businesses of that area as well. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor McFlynn.
Chair, I'm happy to support everything that's happening here, but I think Councillor Kearney wanted in as well.
Yeah, it's on the list here. Councillor Kearney, you're next.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for having me. Just in agreement with all the comments passed by all the other councillors, in Macquarie's case, it's one of the nine bank closures at Ulster Bank are affecting our community. At the end of the year, Macquarie, as it was the last bank in the town, and those of us who know Macquarie, but all the three banks have their prestigious presence in the town. So it's the building. Probably a meeting point for people, so it's good to belong to the community. So I just agree with all speakers, we're going to need to seek some clarity about this. And I think that governments have made a step forward to help. I know we're talking about post offices and credit unions, but post offices aren't really always the best place to take the money that's been transacted. So it needs to be a debate. And in the longer term, I think, even if our council officials, there's been a number of banks that are closing in the Boston area. I noticed even in the south of Ireland where banks are closing, the banks have been given back to the communities, so some term of lease, so that they can be used as hubs. So in the longer term, there might be a reason that might be some hub, but certainly for a town like Mahara to lose its last bank, after the neighbouring towns of Boston areas, that's quite an impediment. So just agree, a high level dispersion would be very useful. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Kearney. Councillor McKinney.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the same lines, you obviously thank you again. In Macquarie, I think it's a terrible tragedy. As you kindly said, it's the last bank in town. So where does the traders go? Where does the pensioners go? The mother and mother are working under that, and even though they may be poor, but a lot of our senior citizens do not have internet, do not have access to internet, nor do not have the capability of using internet. We are in a major problem. I think whenever we suggest there a meet with bank officials, after speaking to staff in the bank of Macquarie, they do get concerns. They know the footfall and the percentage of footfall here in the senior bracket. So they take concerns on that. We need to bring the post office in there, because the post office may be the only lifeline that Macquarie has left. But bear in mind, the nearest bank to Macquarie, there's no bank between Microfelt and London Berry. We think that bank very much head over towards Oma and right the whole way, Garland Bank is very close, with Cody and Ballina. That's a vast area with no bank representation. But I think the post office need to be there to put their minds for the future, because they will close, as they've done it before, and they've known the problem during the year. But I do think we need to get in there and give some help to the senior people within the middle area, especially people from that neighbourhood.
Okay, Councillor McKinney. I have two more speakers, Councillor McGuigan and Councillor Robinson, so I'll take them in order. Councillor McGuigan first.
Thanks, Chair. And again, it's the same as previous speakers. It's in relation to the Macquarie Bank. And any meeting going forward, I want to be included in that one as well. But obviously, banks now seems the direction is going down the line of online banking, and they're looking at, it's not about service to the people, it's about what savings they can make in terms of using banks, and obviously online is the direction of travel that they're going on. I've been involved in the past with the Jipperstown Bank, the last opposition to that, and even though, you know, stand to footfall, and even though we press them to keep the service tunnel within the town, that disappeared as well, and no doubt similar will happen in Maharaj. It's my view, but we'll have to hear what they have to say.
Okay. Thanks, thank you, Councillor McGuigan. Councillor Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to concur with all that's been said about the banks. I think especially at Clare Bank, there are lots of banks in Clare, small village town. And where the bank closes, it affects the small shops in that town as well. As you talk to some of them, and they said to me, whenever I'm at the bank, if you don't get to a bank, we're hoping to come to the shop and help the business there in that shop. So whenever the bank goes, that's where they're off to them. Also, I'm a carrier, that's central of Clare Valley. Two banks closed, no banks there at all. But when I've talked to them, especially also the bank, they said there's only 31 people using it in the week. Which I know is a small number, but there's still 31 people using it. I know what's already been said. When the lack of those figures, but that's what was told to me. But certainly, I will support very much people with them to talk to them and see if anything can be done. Especially if you, for example, if you're in the, as I talk about the home and the walk, and think around the money, that's a big important thing, 24 hours, and go there and get it. That's supposed to drive away if you've got some power to find the town. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Okay, read the mood. We have two scenarios. We have two different bank establishments. We have Danske and we have Ulster Bank. So, in my opinion, that's two separate meetings. I don't think it's they'll cross. So, we might have to try and sort that out. Okay? So, our officers will put the wheels in motion and try and take some lead in that there and come back to us as quickly as we possibly can because it is of urgency. So, apologies, but there was a couple of other things that I meant to say under Chair's business, and I forgot. I wrote them down and overlooked them. Last night, we ran a Chair's reception for MAGA, who are an exceptional organisation in this part of the of our district, in the engineering sector, mechanical engineering sector. And anybody that knows, they started off 2019 because of a deficit of trade professional welders in the facility. And they shared their crown jewels. I think that's the best way to say it. They realised that everybody was working and stealing each other's personnel and it wasn't working. And so they came together as a group. There's only started off with eight companies. And 3 years later, they're sitting with over 60 companies collaboratively working together. Since that, they have harnessed over 250 apprenticeships and trained a whole lot more people in the field of welding and mechanical engineering. And really, they have encapsulated that whole process. And it was only right, I believe. I've visited them on a number of occasions and also visited a number of the businesses. And I was very intrigued coming from a construction background, basically, of what they did. And so I felt it was right before I finished my term that I would acknowledge their contribution to Mid-Ulster. So I did that last night. However, I did it for a purpose to tell them that I'd stole their model. And in the construction industry, which is very vibrant in Mid-Ulster as well, they are facing the same problems with apprenticeships, with lack of skills, with tradesmanship and all the rest of it. And so again, what I did during the term of office, initiated a gathering of our main construction companies. And again, we started small. We've only, 10? I think it's 10 round a table. And we have had two initial meetings, and we painted the scenario and told the picture to the businesses of what MAGA did. And to be honest, there is an appetite amongst those construction companies to follow suit. And so therefore, that initiative in collaboration with Council and Invest Northern Ireland is up and running. And whoever succeeds for me and the post here as Chair after the 6th of June, I'd like them to take that on and take the reins of that and keep that momentum going, because I think it's good for our area and it's good for construction. Now, construction will take the lead in it, but council needs to help in the facilitating and steering of that process. And so that's just something else that I want to bring to your attention, and we encourage people to get involved of that process and make yourself available and aware of what's happening. Okay, we'll move on now to item 5 on our schedule, and that is matters for decision. Item 5 is the council minutes of the meeting held on the 28th of April. Could I have a proposer and a seconder? Sorry, Councillor Culberson.
Just a wee issue, Andrew, but just before we get to that, Chair, I think maybe you skipped declarations of interest. Just to declare an interest in the Development Committee and the community grants. There's a number of community groups I was working closely with.
Okay.
Community grants.
Point made. And if
do you want to do that first, do you?
If anybody has anything to declare, you can do it now or you can do it at the time. All right, Councillor Wilson? At the community grounds thing as well, okay. Huish, we have a whole lot of confessions going to be made now. Councillor Brown?
Yes.
Same thing?
Point of order,
Councillor Glasgow?
Point of order. If you have declared these interests in your annual declaration of interest, that covers you for this item.
Right, so if you have anything else over and above that, then you only need to declare it. Point made. Councillor Quinn, you have still a confession to make.
I have a few, just the same as I have a few in there.
Okay. Yours hasn't been updated. Okay. Community grants as well.
Yeah, but it's Matora LL 661. That's not declared in my this year's yet.
Okay. Fair enough. That's great. Boys. Confession's good for the soul, is what they say, isn't it? So there you are. Thank you. Right, Councillor Culberson, something.
Yeah, Chair, just under Council Minutes, just C081/22, we had a discussion about the Royal British Legion. Yes, that meeting has taken place since, and it's a very productive meeting, and it's a very encouraging meeting with representatives of Dungannon Moy Branch, the Royal British Legion, and hopefully something or a bit of work will come out of that. I think it's left to one of the council officers to take it forward of the members. But just disappointingly, that particular weekend, just after the meeting, unfortunately, the Moy War Memorial was attacked again over the weekend. So it is rather disheartening for the chairman and for the members of the British Legion there in the Moy and Dungannon. But hopefully, maybe with the work and the goodwill of the meeting that we had with them, that something positive will come out of that shortly.
Okay. I think just on that point also, I think it would be fair to mention the Stewartstown floral arrangement that was done by through our council as well, in conjunction with the Royal British Legion. It was vandalised as well, so I know that that was, and I contacted them and apologised and said sorry that it happened, so just to note that as well. Okay, could I have a Councillor McGuigan? Right, go ahead.
Can't propose because I wasn't at the meeting. I didn't realise it. It's under CO77/22, and there's reference made to the ongoing dusty election by members of our staff. First of all, I'd like to extend solidarity to those workers. And while I take on board that the officers are saying about the implications on the rate estimates for any moving away from joint negotiations, I think we need to go into this in more depth. I think we owe it to these workers to investigate what opportunities there may be for us to negotiate with them directly, and what implications obviously that may have financially for us, because the reality of it is I do get the sense that we are happy to say to folk we're sympathy and we're sympathy with you and we're standing beside you and all that, but the reality of it is we are in charge of the budget of this organisation. It is this organisation that pays these wages. So I think it's an abdication of responsibility by ourselves if we don't investigate further what we can or can't do. Now, I know there's reference to it later on in the minutes of the PNR, and it talks about NILGA negotiating on our behalf. I think this needs a whole discussion, and I would propose that's referred into PNR or that there's a councillor workshop. I don't mind how it happens, but this is not going to go away. And our staff 2 years ago we were lauding them from everywhere, and people were clapping them and things like that there. Now they're coming back and asking for our help. And I think it's wrong of us just to say, well, listen, it's out of our hands. It's joint negotiation. Nothing really we can do. Yours are doing a great job, but very sorry. Because they're going to keep going. The strike's going to continue. The joint negotiation process for next year undoubtedly will not serve the purposes of these particular workers and workers at this pay grade either. So I don't think we can blindly go into that next year and sort of say, well, listen, this is just the way it's going to be. The world has changed. We're in unprecedented times following the pandemic and the cost of living crisis. And I think it's incumbent on us, while we are very quick to call on other government bodies and people that got there to do what they can, this is something that is within our, we are responsible for this budget, Chair. So I would propose that we have a discussion and the officers bring forward whatever potential implications there may or may not be in relation to negotiating directly with the workers. We talk to NILGA and see where the issues of the lowest paid raised on behalf during those negotiations. If we can't break away from joint negotiation, we need to be ensuring that when NILGA is negotiating on our behalf that the lowest paid are looked at. There needs to be, if it's going to be joint negotiation, we need to look at a tapered raise. You know, 1.75% of an increase on the lowest paid is a lot different than 1.75% on the highest paid in the civil service. So one size fits all does not work, and most certainly is not working, Chair. So I know that all councillors are sympathetic to our workers, but I think our sympathy needs to go farther than just words.
Okay, I'm going to ask the Chief Executive on this, because I've already made my rulings on this. So.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Just for members' information, I have been formally asked to meet with the unions, and I've agreed to do so. And Marissa and I have agreed to meet them next Tuesday. We've agreed an agenda, and we're clear on what the asks are from the union perspective at this point. So that's the first formal request, and we've agreed to that. And I will meet and negotiate in good faith, and I would ask members to allow that to take its course.
Okay. I agree. Councillor Mulligan.
Just very briefly, Chair. I'd like to see this happening on 11 council platform, you know, rather than with Ulster. And you know, if we have to start the process, that's fine, you know, and take the lead in it like we do on many things, but I think it should be an 11 council way forward. Because if you're a refuse collector, if you're a leisure attendant, whatever you are in with Ulster, you should expect to get the same level of pay in Oman, Fermanagh, or wherever else it happens to be right across the north. So I'm hoping that that's the angle that we can go down, rather than, you know, I'm not afraid that Mid-Ulster Council should stick its neck out from time to time to lead the pack, but whenever it comes to pay and conditions and ensuring people have the same quality of work life right across, it should be right across 11 councils. So if we can keep that in our sort of our way forward, I would appreciate it.
Okay. Councillor Kerr.
Thanks, Chair. Just to agree with Councillor Monteith, I think it's important that we need to show some innovation and try as a council to address our council staff's concerns. And the joint effort is not fit for purpose. Saying our hands is tied due to the collective negotiations no longer washes. We need to immediately sit down with four trade unions and a welcome that Aidan is going to meet the unions and come to an understanding that reflects our appreciation of frontline workers who worked and kept council services open during the global pandemic this last few years. Now is the time to show leadership on a local government level and enter into direct negotiations with the trade unions, representatives from the Ulster District Council. We've seen the recent redundancies widely reported in the Strabane area and neighbouring council, where large multinational companies have bought over or deemed redundancies necessary due to changed business models. Long-term staff treated disgracefully, and we need to show our staff the appreciation and the great work they carried out this last number of years, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, we've heard what the Chief Executive had to say, and we'll move on that basis. Could I have a proposal and a second for the minute, please? Councillor Brown?
Proposed.
Councillor Kerr? Thank you very much.
Chair, thank you.
Sorry, was there somebody else up there? Apologies. Councillor McKinney? If it's on the same issue, Chief Executive has already said what's happening, and therefore we're cutting into that, okay? If it's something different, I'm happy to take it, but if it's on the same issue, Chief Executive already said he's meeting with trade unions and we're leaving with that. Okay? Thank you.
Chair, I think it's your last night. You said you were going to blame it. I just want to say that what's been said, I have already said it last month.
That's okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Councillor McKinney. Okay. Right. Okay. We've ruled on that point. We've got a proposer and seconds. All in favour of the minutes. Thank you. Sorry, Councillor Kerr, I don't believe you were at the minutes, so you can't second it. So could have a second. Councillor Wilson. Thank you. Okay. Planning item six, planning minutes, planning committee minutes held on the 3rd of May. Councillor Black proposed, Councillor Mann second. All in favour? Thank you very much. Item seven, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 4th of May 2022. For proposer, Councillor McGuigan proposed, Councillor Cuddy seconds. Okay, thank you. No abstentions. No. Item eight, Environment Committee minutes held on the 10th of May. Councillor Brown proposed, Councillor Kerr.
Issue,
sir. Issue, right, go.
Chair, it's in relation to E133/22, the All-Ireland Pollinator Report. Chair, I was just wondering, is our roundabouts going to be a part of the action plan, and would like to once raise again the roundabout at Clonoe? No report was ever brought back to discuss the inclusion of the roundabout, so I request a report is brought back to the next month's Environment Committee, because it seems the previous request has fallen on deaf ears.
Okay. Thank you.
Happy to second the minutes, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McGuigan. So Councillor Brown proposed, Councillor McGuigan second. All in favour? Thank you. Development Committee minutes held on the 12th of May. Councillor Glasgow? Sorry. Apologies if I didn't see your hand.
No, you're right. It's on item E124-22. It's on the capital property repairs. It was just sort of to follow on. I had brought up about... not sure if there's a price estimate for these such projects, and had mentioned on the night about the dramatic increase in raw materials that has been faced, and a lot of these things is changing on a 30-day process. And it was, in fairness to the director at the time, or the assistant director, had mentioned that the quotes in question were previous to the report. And just to re-emphasise the word, I think moving forward, we need to be very, very careful that whenever we're bringing these reports forward, that those estimates... I understand they can't be within a 30-day process, but they're as close to that 30-day, because if you take, for example, the price of tarmac, I think they talked about a 55,000 project. I would be very surprised if it covered it now, you know, with things going up. So I think just want to re-emphasise that moving forward, these reports need to try and get as close to estimate as possible, because nothing's worse than approving something that's at a low cost and then realising it's nearly increased by 50-odd%, as an example. Thank you, Chair.
Fair point. Thank you very much, Councillor Glasgow. Okay, so back to development. We have a proposer, Councillor Wilson. Point of issue or proposal?
Yeah, both, Mr. Chair.
Right, go ahead.
And it's not within that, but over the last week or more, I've had the opportunity, thankfully, to take grandchildren up to the Fairhill Play Park, and it's a great play park, and there's no doubt in with the additional equipment in it. However, there's quite a number of the equipment not working, and that's the interaction where young kids can go and press buttons and hear noises and things like that. And for the pride of our park within Cookstown, for not to have that equipment, and if it can't be fixed, then I think it needs to be replaced. Thank you.
Okay.
And I'll propose.
Propose the minutes of development. Go to seconds or for the minutes. Councillor Kerr, point of order or seconds?
Second, I'll happy second, Chair. Just would like the point of order as well, Chair.
Go for it.
Chair, it's just regarding the development mega amendment. I just welcome the amendment in the service level agreement. I think we need to, at every opportunity, promote workers' rights and encourage trade union representation, especially in the local manufacturing and engineering sector. We hear about the shortage of staff on a weekly basis. We need to convince and promote staff, not just for recruitment, but for job retention. So I hope we can use the platform of the local authority to engage in constructive criticism, Chair. Thanks.
Okay. Item 10, Standing Order Amendment. Councillor, or Chief Executive.
Chair, I'm just taking the paper through again because in conjunction with the standing order, it's recommended that discussion can now take place and the proposed amendment as agreed at the April meeting is now implemented and continued within our standing order as outlined in Appendix 6.1.
Okay. That doesn't need a proposal in seconds, or does it? Yeah, okay. Could have a Councillor Wilson, Councillor from Allen. Proposed? Second? All in favour? Thank you. Okay. Item 11 is a civic recognition request. So it's on for approval. Councillor Culbison.
Chair, there's a request for Clyde Athletic Football Club to have a civic reception. Now, Clyde Athletic had a good sporting achievement. They beat Bangor Young Men 4-1 in the Junior Cup final. The National Stadium in Windsor Park on May the 2nd. Unfortunately, the success on the field was overshadowed in the team bus. Now, this has been widely circulated on media, print and television, social media, where the team members were chanting pro-IRA slogans, glorification of terrorism. Now, the Irish Football Association has investigated this and found the club £250. I am not aware of an apology from the club. I stand to be corrected. But, Chair, I would suggest or I would propose that any civic reception will be put on hold until an apology will be widely circulated for people of the district to see, because I think it'd be unwise to go forward with a civic reception with this dark cloud or shadow hanging over the whole thing. So I think it'd be good to get an apology first before the civic reception would happen. I'll make that a proposal, Chair.
Okay. Our officer said that it was originally screened against our criteria, so therefore hence the reason it's on the list and we don't take in consideration as a council. However, the floor is open to Councillor Cuddy.
I think it's a good point by Councillor Cuthbertson. You know, we all follow our sports teams, whatever, and, you know, when you're in that, especially in the most recent generation, you know, a lot of young people look up to their sports teams and individuals, and they, you know, and no matter what sport it is, you know, you expect a certain standard. And this day and age, because, you know, all clubs and everything, especially, you know, even Mid Ulster, all clubs and sport get mostly local, well, to a certain extent, local funding from this organisation and others. And so in return, we respect a certain standard. And, you know, as I say, the fact that they haven't acknowledged that they should have celebrated in a different way is quite right, you know. And to be for us to be saying that, well, here, you know, we'll just forget about that. I know if it was a flute band or something going somewhere and there was a video came out, they would almost be blacklisted within this organisation. So the you know, it has to be a fair rules right across, and you know, nobody can justify what was done on that bus. It was evidence there. So, and especially with the IFA has come out and they have done the investigation. So, you know, I'd be disappointed that until the club management recognises that this shouldn't have happened and came back with some sort of response that it wouldn't happen again or whatever. There needs to be something come back for the club before we could move to the next stage, because, you know, these awards are for all corners of our population here in Mid Ulster, and it's important that they're there to give young people and everybody a chance to acknowledge their achievement, and they've just undermined it all by what they've done after the match. So, you know, we need to be looking very carefully at this, Chair.
Councillor Mullen.
Thank you, Chair. And as you've already alluded to, the proposal made falls outside the scope of the policy, and therefore, you know, obviously it's up to you to decide what way you take it forward, but we don't have a policy that dictates how people behave on the buses on the way to and from matches. It's about the achievement that the individual or the team makes. And I think, you know, it's disappointing. We're not the arbiters for sport.
we're certainly not here to determine how teams, who should make apologies, who should make apologies. We're here to recognise local achievement. That's the job of the local council. I think it's very unfortunate this has been brought up tonight whenever it's already been dealt with by the governing body, but that's my view on the chair.
Okay. Councillor Kerr.
Chair, I was happy enough just to propose the civic recognitions, but as Cathal had alluded to, I thought this fell without the remit of council, Chair, but if there is to be a proposal going ahead, I'd like to make a counter proposal that would proceed as normal for Clyle Athletic to receive the recognition.
Okay. If that's the case, then we have a straightforward for or against on that process. So, sorry, somebody else coming in there? Councillor Quinn, sorry.
Yeah, Chair. This was a great achievement by Clyde Athletic. Even a bigger achievement was that I sat down and watched the first Irish League game in my life, to be perfectly honest, and it was a great one to watch. But as Councillor Kieran Cuthbert and Monaghan has already alluded to, falls out of the scope of the council. The team has already been punished for the actions of a few. I think this is just sort of political point scoring tonight to even bring this up, to be quite honest. We recognise the team, we recognise the achievement, and that's how we should continue to proceed.
Councillor Glasgow.
Thank you, Chair. Now, lucky be. Listening to what's going on, and I've had my queries about this policy previously before, and I'm sure, is there not a review happening, or maybe it's over? But I think, you know, it's not an unfair ask to say tonight, you know, the people will be watching. These awards have, you know, throughout the years of this council have awarded people for great achievements, great work, and great service within their local community. And the reality is, people will look tonight on the outside and see, do we award bad behaviour? And I understand it's not within policy, but I think, and I've always said, there does have to be a certain discretion.
Okay. Councillor Ashton, could you put your speaker on mute, please? Okay, thank you. I missed the last wee bit up. My apologies.
I'll go back. I'll just keep going.
Just wind a little bit.
I'll just wind it up now. I says the people will look at this tonight and they'll say, you know, do we as a council reward bad behaviour? And previously we don't. I would feel very uncomfortable with the approach of, I think, the councillor Cuthbertson's proposal is a very modest and stable one, and I'd be supportive of it.
Okay. I would like to try and get a resolution on the issue. I appreciate the arguments that have been put forward by both. I think Councillor Culberson put it very diplomatically in the fact that he said that was overshadowed, the achievement was overshadowed by that. I would ask Council if they would be happy to put it on hold, this particular one. I'm happy, as a chair of the council for the last few days that I'm in, to go and speak to the relevant body and see if they were willing to deal with that in an appropriate manner, and therefore then let the council reward them accordingly. If that would be acceptable to this chair or not, I'm going to go to a vote. Okay, I'm going to go to a vote. All right, so you're either for the proposal as it stands, or you're against it. Okay, that's really it, isn't it? Sorry, you're right. A counter proposal first, so it's for the proposal to pass them all with the exception of this one here. Okay, so you're for that or you're against it. Okay, everybody clear?
So sorry, Mr. Chair, you can't log them all together. It's only just on the one. We're voting on this one, just on this one, but the other ones are accepted.
Councillor Culberson was putting a proposal that they would be accepted except for this one.
Sorry.
Does that make sense? Okay.
Point of order, Chair, sorry. So if we vote against it, does that indicate that we're against all the other civic nominations?
Chair, and then the amendment comes forward that you go for it as normal, is that right?
Yeah, Chair, as I understand it, Councillor Cuthbertson's proposal was that all of the other groups be invited with the exception of the said group, and that's what's being put forward
until such times.
And that's being put forward to the floor for approval or not. So it's a for Councillor Cuthbertson's proposal or against, and then we revert back to the counter proposal if we have to.
Okay, happy enough. Okay, Councillor Ashton.
Four Councillor Cuthbertson.
Right, Councillor Bale.
Against.
Councillor Black.
Four.
Councillor Brown.
Four.
Councillor Buchanan.
Four.
Councillor Burton.
Four.
Councillor Clark.
Against.
Councillor Colvin.
Four.
Councillor Corey.
Against.
Councillor Cuddy. Councillor Culberson.
Four.
Councillor Doris.
Again.
Councillor Ailader.
Against.
Councillor Ford.
Four.
Councillor Gildernew.
Against.
Councillor Glasgow.
Four.
Councillor Graham. Oh, option, sorry, she was up. Councillor Martin.
Against, Chair.
Councillor Kearney.
Against,
Chair. Councillor Kerr.
Strongly against.
Councillor Mullen.
Against.
Councillor Niall McAleer.
Against.
Councillor Sharon McAleer.
Against.
Councillor McFlynn.
Against.
Councillor Brian McGuigan.
Against.
Against Sean McGuigan.
Against.
Councillor Derek McKinney. Councillor myself, Councillor McNamee. Apologies, sorry. Councillor Donald McPeak.
Against.
Councillor Sean McPeak is apology. Councillor Mellon.
Against.
Councillor Malloy.
Against.
Councillor Monteith.
Against.
Councillor Mullen.
Against.
Councillor O'Neill.
Against, Chair.
Councillor Quinn.
Against, Chair.
Councillor Robinson.
Over, Chair.
Councillor Totten. Absent, sorry, I forgot about that. Councillor Wilson. Okay, the motion is lost, in my opinion, so therefore, then, proposer to accept it in its entirety, which has been proposed by Councillor Kerr, seconded by Councillor Mullen. So again, it's straightforward again, for or against. Okay, Councillor Ashton.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, a point of clarification. I think, do we need to take the vote again?
We don't.
I don't believe we need to take it
It's a direct negative, Chair. It's a member's discretion, but formally, if you want to, you just carry forward the second vote, but it is a direct negative.
We'll just let it go.
Okay, that's fair enough. Saves me reading all those names out. Thank you very much. Okay, on to the next item of business, which is item 12, is conferences, seminars and training report. And it's there for your information, unless anybody wants to raise something. If not, can we have a proposer and seconder? Proposer, Councillor Brown. Councillor Niall. Thank you. All in favour, thank you very much. So, matters for information, correspondence, item number 13. No issues, everybody happy? Okay. Item 14 is consultations. And again, Councillor Mullen, sorry.
Sorry, Chair, I just missed it there. Item 13, in terms of the letter from, is it Monaghan County Council in regards to the N2?
Yes.
Chair, they're asking for support from local councils, particularly those along the border. So can I propose that we support Monaghan Council in their endeavours to try and get progression on that very important road?
Okay.
Second.
And second is Councillor McGuigan. Okay. Councillor.
Chair, just on the letter back from DFI, can I just check, are DFI coming to the meeting in June? We've been writing to them nearly every month there since the start of the year or longer, and hoping that we'll see some resurfacing done. But I don't know about any other area, but I'm not seeing any in Dungannon, so okay. I hope they're coming.
Our officers have advised us that they're invited, so we haven't got response back yet, but hopefully that will be the case. Okay. All right. On item 14, we had nobody had indicated anything in item 14. That being the case, we're moving into confidential business. Item 15, could we have a proposer and seconder? Councillor Mullen, Councillor Burton. All in favour to move into confidential business?
So, just wait for Barry to
okay.
Get off the feet.
Councillor Does that mean out?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.